The new Starz series, Marianne George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but it shockingly is. With nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villers sets her handsome and charming son, George, on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. This show is full of wit, scandal, action. You will not be able to look away. I know, because I couldn't. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Hi, everyone. It's Sophia. Welcome to Work in Progress. Welcome back to an episode I'm so excited about. Whip Smarties. One of my favorite people is here today. I have had the pleasure of getting to know this guest over the last couple of years. And really, in the last year, we've become real tried and true friends. Today, my guest is Dylan Mulvaney. She is an American social media personality who has detailed her gender transition in daily videos published on TikTok since early 2022. She was able to advocate for her community interviewing the President of the United States, Joe Biden, in 2022, during which they spoke about trans rights. And I'm sure you all saw that in 2023, a very sweet partnership, because Dylan, like me, is a beer girly, with Bud Light led to really terrifying violence, calls for a boycott. A lot of very right-wing conservative folks went ham on this young woman in a way that was really hard to watch. And yet Dylan has managed to maintain her composure, to be vulnerable about what this experience is, simply trying to let a little more light and a little more love into journeys like hers. And really, as she likes to say, the transition that we're all in throughout our lives, whether it's figuring out who we are, who we love, what we're passionate about, what we want to do with our careers. In her mind, we all have so much more in common than not. And I'm so amazed by the way she's maintained this beautiful composure in a world that has meant she's amassed more than 10 million followers on TikTok, had over a billion views on her videos, and she deals with both the courage that she's exhibiting in the world and how that motivates others, but also how being courageous in public can really put a target on your back. She is just so inspiring to me, and also one of the kindest, funniest, goofiest, sweetest people that I know. And I'm so excited for all of you to get to know her today with me. Let's get to it. I feel really excited in particular to ask you this question, probably of all people, because, you know, everyone I sit down across from is doing something inspiring, is like living their most creative life, is reminding all of us to be courageous. And I always think, like, you know, whether you're a senator or a public figure, we know who you are as the adult that you are. But I'm always really curious if there's through lines that people can see from today's vantage point when they look back at their childhood, when they're like, you know, 8 or 9 years old, when things are really kind of formative. And I think there's a whole other interesting layer to that first question for you because of the path your life has taken you on. Do you, as you sit in your days of girlhood, to early shout out the single, do you feel like you always saw Dylan in yourself, even when you were a little kid?
Oh, I think that was when I was the most Dylan and the most feminine and the most fun and free. And I actually, I stripped so many parts of myself away and I became sort of a shadow version of myself for a really long time. But I keep refinding those parts, and then they get taken away again, or I push them to the side and then I refine them, or I find the courage to tap back into that person. But I think, like, if I really look back at the through line, it's, I am a musical theater girl nerd who just wants to make people laugh and make people smile and see the good. And that's, like, always who I have been, like, since it is funny now, having experienced so many other parts of life than I would have ever expected that I would get to, including my transition, but also career and relationships and all these things that I never thought that I would find myself in. And at the end of the day, my favorite thing is still, like, going to playbill.com and, like, looking to see what's going on Broadway right now, or listening to Wicked in my car and belting it out with my best friend. But that is so me at my core. And the more that I can come back to that little kid that just wanted to make people laugh and wanted to sing show tunes, like, that's the happiest. And that is when I am the happiest. So I think that's kind of where I'm at.
I love that. So if you think of yourself as a little kid and what you wanted to be when you grew up, are you doing everything and more that you wanted when you thought about your future?
I think I'm doing a little too much in a way. Like, I'm a little extra. I'm definitely a little extra. I think what would make my younger self so happy is to be back up on stage as much as possible in whatever capacity that is. And that's kind of the next goal, is to get back up there. But it's also, you know, when people put you in a box or they see you as this one thing, it can be really hard to then convince people of the other skills that you have or the other sides to your life. And I'm sure that you've been in that place too, with, like, specific roles that once you played, people are like, oh, that is who you are. That's what you're capable of. Have you found that being the case for your life, like, after you do some of these iconic projects?
Oh my gosh, completely. Because what I've learned is that, like, our sort of surface memory is long, but our bigger sort of lifelong memories seem to be very short. And I think that's because, you know, everyone's doing their own thing. They're not thinking about other people oh so much. But it was a really wild thing to, like, for example, when I first started on One Tree Hill, like, to be brought in as the comic relief on the show and to be a source of comedy. And then, you know, I did a couple of years of, like, playing this very, and I loved her too, but this very tough, like, former addict cop. And people were like, she's so good at, like, being serious and doing action, but can she do comedy? And I was like, I did that for 9 years. Like, what? And I would watch people go, like, oh my God, we forgot. Or vice versa. Like, somebody would be like, well, she, you know, she played this fashion designer who was so funny for so long. Like, can she be tough? And I was like, I do all my own stunts, you guys. If people just forget. And that's okay.
Well, for example, right, like, I think the way that I've been able to, like, build an audience has been on social media. And it's been really interesting to sort of try to steer people from just seeing me as a trans woman that talks about her journey to then sharing the other parts of my life. Mm-hmm. And something that's been very interesting to watch is as I'm putting out like singing videos, for example, like people like still, I've been putting out singing videos for years.
Yeah.
And someone like I posted one yesterday and they're like, I had no idea you could sing. Mm-hmm. And you go, I'm like, obviously that wasn't on their side of the For You page or, but that teaches me like, oh, I have to keep showing them because there's still people that are learning. Mm-hmm. And I think also we sometimes put an expectation of like, okay, we do this one thing and that means that people will get it. And they just don't and even, you know, my song came out last week or 2 weeks ago. And I kind of assumed people would understand the nuance of the song or would understand like the intentions behind the song. And then, mm-hmm. you know, after a few days of discourse, I was like, oh, I think I need to talk to people about what this is. Like, and especially I think because my perspective is different and as a trans person, not everyone is going to automatically understand where I'm coming from or the kinds of things that I feel called to sharing. And so I was like, there are moments where you have to let people in and you do mm-hmm. have to, you know, let them in, whether it's a joke or something really vulnerable or something, as long as you feel ready to share that thing.
Yes.
And I think that's also a tricky part of what we're both navigating is like, when do you let people in and when do you keep things for yourself?
Girl, this is my journey.
I always assume people wouldn't know me as like a character, whether it's in a television show or on stage. Mm. And then people knew me in my personhood from the internet. And I was conditioned to believe that I was only as good as my last video. And that if I didn't put something out every single day, that I was no longer interesting or like worthy of, mm-hmm. of this success. And you get to a place where once you've talked about a certain number of things, you're like, oh, I guess I have to talk about this now, or, you know, I don't think I'm fully ready, but let's talk about this. And it gets tricky because none of your audience is ever going to say, oh, Dylan, don't share that. We don't want to hear that right now. Like everybody, they want whatever they can get. And especially the people that, you know, love you or fascinated by you or like you feel like it's the parasocial relationship. Mm-hmm. And so scaling that back has been so scary because I sort of set this precedent that I'm going to share my entire life with you. And then to be like, oh, just kidding, not everything. That can be frustrating to, you know, the people that have seen your journey. But I also think that as long as I'm keeping them updated with the why and the, mm-hmm. hey, I need to take care of whether it's my mental health or my relationships or so much of my personal life kind of fell to like the shit show of like the behind the scenes. And then I was keeping this really strong front on for the media and for my following. And now I'm playing cleanup on the rest of my life. Mm. And I will say, like, meeting your group of friends, the, you know, Jedediah, Britt, Julianne, like, those people, you all have really taught me how to, like, enjoy life and savor things just for me and not for, like, I think I was confusing going to an event as, like, a social engagement where, like, it was actually kind of work. Like we were there for a specific reason or we're there. A lot of the times I get invited somewhere to like make content and that's tricky too, because I'm like, ooh, I'm here because they want me to do this thing. And when I'm with you all, it's often in a backyard around a fire pit or, mm-hmm. you know, hopefully planning a camping trip or, you know, going and doing things with people that like are only interested in just getting to know you better as a person, and you leave feeling more filled than emptied. Mm-hmm. And that's been, I think, my greatest sort of joy this past year has been like building friendships back up and like savoring mm-hmm. the little personal relationships in my life and meeting new people. And I don't know that, like that group of friends, how did you find them and what are they to you?
I mean, definitely, I think having really healthy relationships is the foundation of a healthy life.
Yeah.
And for me, it's like crazy to think that it's almost 20 years ago now, before conferences were cool and, like, you know, branded and everybody wanted to go to them. I was at a conference meeting other people who wanted to make the world a better place. And that's where Jed and I became friends. We had been best friends ever since. And, you know, I was part of the gang that convinced him and Kenny to move to LA from San Diego. And, you know, I met Britt through them because she had volunteered for their nonprofit right out of high school. And, like, mm-hmm. we built a community based on service, which was always a really big deal. And I think, you know, we were friends before social media. We've worked kind of through it. And when you talk about, you know, what you give versus what you hold for yourself, like, I feel that in my bones, because I think there's something really important to remember about the fact that most of us lived a life before there was the opportunity to have part of your life be online. And mm-hmm. I think when you are an advocate, when you want to show up to encourage other people to do the same, to make other people feel safe to be who they are, that is wonderful. And you have to remember that it's also not your reality. It's a piece of it. Like you said, people who follow you and think they see your content every day will miss entire things. Now it's a big deal if 10% of your audience engages with something you post. So you have to think about how many people just don't see things, yet how many people are chronically online and perhaps don't even realize that in their subconscious, they assume that if they don't see it, it isn't happening, or vice versa. Right. When you have a whole life happening. And I think there's also this weird thing where people want the optics to continue. They want the numbers to continue. They want that parasocial fame to continue. You know, now I'm beginning to really see through, like, people trying to win optics wars, for example, like when people are going through big life changes or whatever. I'm like, oh, somebody who's out there trying to win the optics war is doing so because they're worried about what else is going to come out.
Right.
Interesting. Like, I've started to value people who stay quiet and who go slow and who have their experiences before they talk about them so they can talk about them in healthy and honest ways.
Right.
And I don't think I could have seen that 5 years ago, but I see it now really clearly. And so I actually think it's a sign of emotional health and of really good self-care when you have the capability to say, I'm not really ready to share about this. I'm going to take my time and make sure when I do that it's not reactive, that it's authentic and honest, that it's kind to everyone as much as it can be. Like, I find that to be really, really valuable. And so even in our friendship, like, we became friendly with each other online, but
yes.
Then in the interactions we began having offline, I was like, oh, that's a whole person that I really want to know, support, and be around for. And
same.
I really value that. And I value that in all my relationships, like you're talking about.
I felt the same way, like, when getting to meet you and actually getting to, like, talk about the very real things. Like I think because we both share parts of our lives, and then getting to share other parts of our lives, just the two of us, was so epic. But what I see are you on TikTok? Like, do you scroll a lot on TikTok?
Not really. I'm not that great at it. My friends are constantly trying to, like, get me to do it. So, like, I'll get, like, sections of videos from friends. And then, like, depending on what people are sending me, it'll, like, show me more of that in the algorithm.
Right.
But I spend, like, a night on TikTok, like, I don't know, every 3 weeks. My friends make fun of me. They're like, you're such a boomer, because every video everyone's ever sent to me, like, I save so I can, like, have it as a resource. And they're like, TikTok is not Pinterest. Like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I don't know how any of this works.
You saying that you only scroll, like, every 3 weeks is the healthiest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
I can't do it anymore because I really will get lost in it. And, like, I'm such an adult and I get lost in it. I can't imagine what it's like for teens who've never not had it. It scares me.
Well, I think it's designed to be addictive. I also think what's funny is, like, I'm it's my job. Like, it's my primary income.
Yeah.
And I'm like the first person to be like, oh, you don't need to be on there every night. Like, I have a deep addiction to it. I'm also wildly grateful to it because mm-hmm. I think it's one, it's very different than like even Instagram, where, you know, Instagram, it takes kind of a long time to build up an audience and for people to find you. And, but TikTok is like, it was instantaneous, like a straight shot to the moon. It felt
like. It was fast for you.
Oh my gosh. I think I had like a million followers in 17 days.
Oh my God, babe, the pressure. And now a word from our wonderful sponsors.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Before we go into more of this internet identity, this is reminding me or just pinging my brain that I haven't asked this question, which I think in some ways must overlap for you because you are young, you are on social media, you have had this really fast rise, which has come with, yes, a big audience and support system, but also like wild ass backlash. You've had to discover your social media identity, certainly, but has that helped you in the discovery process of your gender identity too? Or did that feel like it was always happening for you as a kid? You always knew that, you always knew who you were and that your body wasn't aligning. Like how did the first discovery happen, and how does the internet play into it?
I came out at 4 years old to my mom as a girl, and that was the year 2000 or 2001. And there's no judgment in my heart for not getting to like fulfill that prophecy, because it was a very different time. The resources, especially for trans youth, were so different. And my family just trying their best. And
well, and your family's pretty conservative, right?
Yeah. And okay. I think what is, I've always come from the place of like, I never want to live in like the what ifs. And even, you know, throughout high school, I remember puberty was a very sensitive time because I didn't like what was happening to my body. And I started lashing out, and it was fascinating too. I was wearing women's clothes and, you know, had a purse at school and like throughout high school. And I really like always walked to the beat of my own drum. But I overall, like, I loved theater. It was my favorite thing. And I knew to be successful in commercial theater that like, I couldn't be that woman. I couldn't be that feminine of a human. So I kind of like sort of stripped those parts away and got into the Cincinnati Conservatory of Music and became this really clean cut J. Crew type. And it worked. Like, I got Book of Mormon, the musical, right after college. That gender dysphoria was always there. And that's where like the internet did not really like the, there are parts of me sharing my transition journey online that I guess were helpful. And a lot of that comes back to like the support from people, like the kind messages, the messages from parents that say, hey, you know, my kid's been going through this. You're the kind of the link between the two of us. And we love watching your videos together. Like, that makes it worth it. The extreme amounts of like hate and transphobia and misgendering, like, that definitely doesn't help. And I have to constantly be like, okay, is this worth, like, is you putting yourself out there right now, like, is this be it to a detriment of your transition? Yeah. Luckily, I mean, I was on hormones for months before I made my first Days of Girlhood video. So that was, you know, something I had like come out to my family and friends and everything like that beforehand. I went by they, them pronouns for the year before. I even came out as a woman. And so there was like quite the lead up, but I never expected to like take it online. I was doing stand-up comedy in LA. Yeah. And my first video was supposed to be sort of this like comedy take on like a coming out video. And then it turned into something so much more. But it was always such a huge part of me. And what's scary, I think, is like how the media is villainizing trans people right now. It's quite scary, because I think back to that, you know, the 8 or 9 year old we were talking to at the beginning of this pod. And I was the least confrontational, least like rock the boat kind of person, kid, human, girl. And so all of these moments of like seeing myself being perceived as like a villain is so insane to me, because I'm like, are they not seeing the Broadway nerdy theater kid that most of my friends get to see? And like and that's where I have to look around my life, and I see specifically the women that are in my life and support me. And I go, oh, these are the people that I want to have on side or on my side, not conservative media outlets or political figures, or, you know, like I've got the support around the fire pit. And I've got the support mm-hmm. from my best friend, Lily, who has known me for 17 years. I've got the support of my mom and my sister. I've got mm-hmm. the support of, you know, just really awesome human beings. And if that can be a testament enough to this being who I am and who I've always been, then that's enough for me. But back to sort of like the TikTok of it all, what worries me that I see happening a lot is because you were talking about, you know, people kind of like stirring up just to stir up online.
Yes.
I see a lot of like the clickbait stuff is getting really bad.
It's really bad.
And I even see certain creators, like, because it performs well, like some really transphobic content that starts getting pushed by algorithms on these apps. And so other people are like, oh, that's a way to get views, or that's a person to talk about. And even I've seen like queer creators talking about other queer creators in certain ways that it just like feels really unproductive to like pushing us forward as a community. And I don't know. I just get nervous about like, I never want to post anything that's going to, you know, set anyone back. I never want to put anything out there that is, you know, hurtful to anyone else. And it's a slippery slope, but I will say that I'm finding those moments for myself to keep close.
Good. I'm glad. You know, I think it is really important for us, especially at a time where we treat social media like currency, but we also forget how dangerous it can be. And I think you have to be really, really clear. You know, we all need to self-interrogate and say, how do I want to participate in this space? And what is this for? And I think to your point, when we're talking about this rise in really dangerous rhetoric that hurts already at-risk populations, like one of the things that feels really important for me to constantly point out to people, because I think it's really crucial that we make sure that the people who are the most affected by something are not the people who have to scream about it from the rooftops. Like, it's the reason that as women, we need men to be talking about rape culture, because hello, like, they're the perpetrators of this violence by and large. And it, I think, is an incredibly important reason why, you know, for us as white women, we need to talk about the risks that society has baked into women of color. And I think it's incredibly important for cisgendered women to be really fucking clear about how dangerous the world is for trans women. And it is the reason last March I was in New York for a big ceremony for the National Institute of Reproductive Health. Obviously, like, our reproductive freedom is on the line. The Republicans are trying to ban reproductive care and abortion, and they're also trying to ban IVF. So, like, hello, anyone who wanted to say a year ago that this was not just simply to control women, I'm like, well, the writing's on the wall now. We've been telling you, welcome to this terrible party we're all at that we don't want to be at. And at this event, the thing I wanted to point out to use my time, you know, they gave me an award. It was very nice. It's glass. It's beautiful. I was like, look, I don't think there's any conversation we need to be having other than if we are not centering trans women in our reproductive advocacy, we're failing. Because we saw in 2023, and it's continuing now, more historically conservative women showing up to vote in support of abortion, in support of reproductive rights access. Because, by the way, abortion, birth control, IVF, it's all tied. And in the states where abortion is the most easily accessible, women have the least number of abortions. Like, whether you like it or not, these are just the facts. If you don't want to have one, don't have one. We're moving on. And I said to this room, I was like, make no mistake, the fact that conservative women in droves are showing up to vote on abortion in support means that these conservative folks who only get voted for when they can create outrage have to figure out a new way to attack bodily autonomy. And it is why you see the most legislation against the LGBTQ+ community in history, over 600 bills at this point, and it is why they're going after trans kids, trans athletes, trans people. It's why you're seeing a surge in, you know, the assault and murder of our trans communities in this country. Like, they are doing this to our most vulnerable population so that they can continue to make attacks on bodily autonomy seem acceptable. They can make bodily autonomy seem dangerous. Like, to be clear, my sweet angel, you being this beautiful girl that you have always been does nothing to my womanhood but make Thank me you. Feel more excited to wear pink. And like, Thank I'm your friend you. Who's always wearing black. And when I'm yes. with you, I'm like, oh my God, I need a pink cashmere sweater. Like, that's it. And we must God, be I clear. Love you. Like, our communities have to be really clear about what's going on, how insidious it is, and how we have to show up for each other. And I know I've said this to you in private, but I will say it on my podcast. Anybody who fucks with you fucks with me. Like, let's go. We're in it together.
I'm in it with you. And, you know, speaking back to like the overturning of Roe v. Wade, mm-hmm. I remember it was actually like earlier on in my series of Days of Girlhood, within my first year of transition. And I was learning so much about not like I was kind of catching up to, you know, because I wasn't as clued in as sure. many women on.
Oh, you mean you don't know everything about everything at every moment of your whole life? Wow.
No, not yet. And I made a video that day because I really thought about how what we are asking for is not very different. And it's permission mm-hmm. over our own bodies to, and, mm-hmm. and funny enough, the way that people are attacking gender affirming care, a lot of the times people attacking it are the people that are actually getting the same surgeries, but just calling it something different. Or
yeah,
I think that there's such a deep connection between a trans and cis woman if they'll let it happen and let it be there, because mm-hmm. the more that we focus on our differences, they become very obvious and very factual. But the more that we focus on what we have in common, that's when like true connection and like productivity can happen.
Yeah.
Because I want to honor every single version of womanhood. I want mm-hmm. to find whatever it is in a feminine person, whether that's a trans person or a cis person's idea of what a woman is to them. And then I want to be able to honor that within myself and not feel apologetic about what that means to me. And even mm-hmm. with the song coming out, people like assumed that my version of girlhood or womanhood is this very frivolous thing, or it's this very sort of juvenile thing. And it's so not. There's so much pain. There's so much resentment and anger and jealousy and all these things mm. that are within me that are my womanhood. And yet I wanted to make a really fun, frivolous song of like 2% of what my experience has been. And yet mm-hmm. people then, like we talked about at the beginning, they put you in a box. And so they say, this is who you are. This is who you think we are. Mm. And it's not. And I think, the more that we can have conversations like this one, the closer we get to, the tricky part is then having those conversations with people who maybe don't feel the same way or aren't on the same page yet. Yeah. And I've had a lot of those in my personal life, like, you know, even with the women in my family, who I am a lot of people's first trans person that they think they've met, at least. They probably have met others, but they didn't yeah. know. And I've watched things get better and things heal and people start to understand when they want to. Mm-hmm. And those who had a personal connection with me before my transition, most, if not all, have found some sort of peace with me stepping into my, because it's not to be, what's it called? It's not an opinion of someone to say that like, I am 100% doing better than I was when, like before I stepped exactly. into my true self. And anyone that knew me before can tell you that. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really interested on those, like the granular relationship level of like outside of social media, outside of making videos for millions of people, when I meet someone that maybe doesn't understand someone like me, that I can leave them maybe even just a sliver of less resentful than they were going into the relationship.
Yes, I love that. And now a word from our sponsors that I really enjoy, and I think you will too.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage. A 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I can't imagine that it's easy to share your life and the lessons you're learning with people. You know, you have a very different journey, but I think about a guest from season one on Work in Progress, my friend Mae Martin, who, you know, made an incredible show on Netflix, Feel Good for everyone listening, about their whole journey. You know, back when Mae came on the podcast, they were still using both she and they pronouns. They hadn't had top surgery yet. And I've used their story from their stand-up special a bunch in some of the advocacy work that I do offline with folks. And they said something that I thought was so profound about, you know, having had top surgery and having been on T for a year, and said, look, it's not that it shifted my life in some way and everything is different and everything, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but not like everything is perfect and amazing and I've never been sad. I'm just not in agony every second of every day. I have a little space to breathe in my own body and listening to them talk about it. Like, I've brought that up to people who don't quite get it yet and said, why would you deny anybody the right to live with less agony, to be able to breathe more comfortably in their body? Their body has nothing to do with you. And so I think for everyone who's on any version of a journey to figure out who they are, we should be supportive. We should be excited because people's joy, whether it's finding love or learning to love themselves or queerness or transness or any version of it, is about coming home to themselves.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is profound. And I will say, if I may, I think it's also why a lot of people who don't have friends in the way that I'm lucky enough to have you and other folks like May in my life, maybe are afraid, because you're choosing joy in the face of so much danger and judgment in the world. Like, it is such an act of freedom. And I think a lot of people don't feel free. And so they are very intimidated by people who will pursue their own freedom no matter what, people who will not turn their backs on themselves anymore. I think it can be very confronting, and it's easier to be confronted and react with anger than to be confronted and admit you are afraid.
Right. And a lot of people go to confront my success and my wins and my really fast come up, and they'll challenge it as like, oh, she transitioned to get famous, or
oh,
she
stop.
Is fit because, oh my gosh, yes, 100%.
People say that to you.
Yes.
You're like, cool, yeah, I just put myself at like immense risk of violence and decided to do one of the hardest things in the world for TikTok? No.
They were like, this washed up gay man. And I'm like, honey, I was doing a Broadway musical. Like, I wasn't exactly in the worst place in the world.
No.
But what I find so fascinating about that thought process is like, I believe that I stepped in and told the world, this is who I am. And that's when the world decided, okay, now we're ready to introduce everyone to her because she is who she's supposed to be now. And that is the tricky thing about simultaneously finding this success, but also being in the beginnings of a transition. I'm only now 2 years in, and I meet, you know, trans women who are 15, 20, 30 years into their journeys. And they're like, girl, just you wait. And I already feel so differently about things that I've said a year ago, or my first video. You know, I'll watch like videos of myself and just like cringe and be like, oh my God, what was I doing talking about that?
Okay, wait, what does that mean though? Like, what does that feel like when you say, I look back and go, oh, like, what do you see? What's different?
It reminds me of that movie Eighth Grade. That's like the sort of the awkward, you know, like in a way I'm going through a second puberty because my body's changing. I'm trying to wrap my head around these really complex subjects and stepping into conversations that I've never been in before, even had heard of before. And now I'm being platformed to speak on them. And I think I'm like watching sort of like my awkward self evolve and grow and actually taking account of what I can speak on, what I'm ready to. And then it's also like, you know, sometimes we look back at ourselves and we're like with a haircut and we're like, what was I thinking? And it's similar in the
Honey,
way that
I got
like,
famous in the early aughts. Every bad haircut I've ever had is memorialized on television. It's my nightmare.
Yes. But then isn't there something great about like being like, well, I did that. Like that was me, and owning it and being like,
I really leaned in.
People had the media literacy and the nuance to understand that we can change and we evolve from those people. And while that might have been the reason that they liked me in the first place, that me growing up and me stepping into adulthood in a more deeply complex way is actually what they should want from me, and not to be like forever infantilized.
Yes.
And I think with trans women, we often are deeply infantilized or deeply sexualized because mm-hmm. people don't really know where else to put us. And I leaned into infantilization because I was so scared of being sexualized that mm-hmm. I thought it was easier to kind of like put that part of my life away, mm-hmm. you know, to be palatable, to be liked, to be non-threatening. Mm-hmm. And now that's something that I'm finding again, like finding that balance of like, okay, I feel sexy. How do I share that with the world? Or I feel, you know, ready to tackle this part of my life. And I think that's where being more than just one thing is important. And Renee Rapp is a dear friend of mine. And one of her first songs was Everything to Everyone. It's like, I can't be everything to everyone. And sometimes I do think I try to be everything to everyone and I fail miserably because it's mm-hmm. not possible. But yeah, I think, I don't know, but I feel like kind of happy right now. How do you feel? Are you happy?
I am so happy, but it's interesting. It's also been really hard. And I think what I've had to deal with this year in particular, finally deciding to stop trying to push the rock up the mountain, you know, to stop being on that Sisyphean journey of if I just work harder and if I just push farther and if I just do more of this and if I just, then I'll be happy. It's like maybe instead of life feeling like a torture marathon, it could feel like water. Maybe everything could be in flow. Maybe everything could move easily. And I don't think I even knew until I knew that I had just been bred for the hard part. You know, I did it my whole life as a kid in my house. I did it my whole career thinking like, you're so fortunate to have this job. And yes, you know, you guys all work for this man who's a sexual predator and he's the worst, but he's not here all the time. So just be happy when he's not here with your friends. And then when he's here, keep smiling because you don't want anybody to know, because if you girls talk about this and the show gets canceled, this whole crew of 200 people who support their families will lose their jobs and it'll be your fault because you're ungrateful. Like, you know, I didn't even know what that taught me, how I learned to disassociate, how I learned to always perform gratefully and ignore literal trauma. And it took me being diagnosed with PTSD to understand the journey I had been on. In a couple of really toxic work environments, and then how to learn in my own mental health care journey to proudly claim my art and all of the great sets I've worked on and the scenes I've loved to do and the wonderful people, and to say this was unhealthy and I need to learn to separate the two. Like, that's really been a journey. And so here I am at the end of this year where I finally learned that 20 years of working that way taught me to do it in my actual life as well. And that's so, like, what a bummer. That's been really hard.
Yes. Are you disassociating less lately?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. And so it's been really interesting when I finally decided to, like, stop pushing the rock up the hill last summer and be really honest about how I felt in my life and how hard I tried to put the whole list together and I made everything perfect on paper and I just decided to let it go. I find myself now almost a year out from that, having never been happier, but also having never been more anxious. It's like to be so wholly yourself is so vulnerable. It's so sensitive. There are days when I wake up and I feel like I've just been beaten head to toe by a baseball bat. The internet is hard and scary. I've also left it for months at a time. And I'm starting to learn things that I didn't even know. Like, the closest people to me are like, you know, you're really this serious political person on the internet, but in life, you're like goofy and emotional and you probably cry once a day, either because you're overwhelmed or like you see something beautiful and it like moves you to tears. You're funny. You're never silly online. And I'm like, I'm not. I don't even realize. But I feel you like in my bones, like my chest feels like it's swelling right now because there is so much more to us than we could ever possibly be on one of these, like on a freaking two-dimensional phone screen. And we deserve to be that.
Yeah, I disassociate the most when I'm trying to maintain an idea of myself for other people.
Yeah, when you're
people.
Trying to perform.
Yes, and I also know when I take too much on, like work-wise, and it gets really overwhelming, that I go into that same sort of disassociative headspace and be like, okay, yeah. What would Dylan say right now? What would Dylan do?
I have
And I think it's been so nice to now see the, like, getting out from the other side of that and be like, okay, that wasn't healthy. And just because you were providing opportunities for others, or you were doing really well financially, or whatever it was, like, that you were convincing yourself that that dissociation was worth it, actually isn't. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting better at saying no. But funny enough, I was with Kenny last night, and mm-hmm. he told me about you had a year of yes, and then yeah. of like, hell yes, or something like that.
Yeah.
What was that?
Oh my gosh, 2012, my best friend Jenny and I, we both were like, why are we letting fear and fear of failure and fear of getting it wrong rule our lives? Like, everybody fails when they're learning new skills. Everybody tries things that don't work sometimes, and that's okay. Like, why do we feel like unless we're going to be perfect at something, we can't even attempt it? That makes your life so small. So, you know, we were roommates for 10 years, and we decided to make 2012 our year of yes. And we just said yes to everything, every trip, every adventure, every opportunity, every lecture, every conference, every random night to go see a concert. And like, one of them resulted in going to this place that doesn't exist in LA anymore. I'm so sad I miss it. But it was this cool little, like, vibey, sort of jazzy club. And we went with friends one night that we didn't know very well, and we wound up at a secret Prince concert, and Prince sang for 3 hours to like 100 people in a room. And we were like, this is why the year of yes is iconic. You know, we would have never had this experience. And I don't know. It's like, it was things like that, that were once in a lifetime opportunities. And then moments where we just decided to say yes to something that felt scary, and mm-hmm. and it was incredible. And the cool thing about challenging myself to say yes to so many things is I also learned eventually how to say no. I learned what felt so good to me, and I learned what felt like pressure. And yet here I am in, you know, 2024, realizing that last year I had to learn how much I was still saying yes to things that I knew somewhere deep down in my bones were not good for me.
Right.
But I was really, really trying to get it right. And again, I know that that's been seismic and difficult, and it has taken such courage to make changes in my life. And I know that I have it so much easier than so many other people. And so when we talk about this, like, learning to say yes, learning to be your whole self, no matter how scary it is, again, I come back, my friend, I think about you, and I'm just like, part of why you are so inspiring, and I think part of why folks who come from a more conservative bent, who are afraid of your freedom, I think part of why you're scary to them is because courage is contagious. When you see someone be courageous, you go, well, if they could do it, maybe I could too. And that is priceless and profound. And I know it's not easy for you, but I'm just so proud of you because you're doing it.
Thank you. I think that's the weirdest part of when people say that to me. I'm like, who are you talking about?
But well, of course, because you feel like your whole self, not just your brave self. You're also scared, and you're also nervous, and you're also learning. But you are brave. You really are.
And it's so just like a contradictory to like who I was as a young person, scaredy as cat. But I think I'm in my year of maybe. And
I love that.
I'm trying to be really thoughtful with a yes. And what I'm trying to be better about is saying yes to things that I normally wouldn't. Mm-hmm. And trying those new things out, because, mm-hmm. you know, what I realized too is I'm 27 right now. And I was, you know, finding myself kind of overworking in a crazy capacity over the last few years. And I thought, oh my God, what if I like make all my dreams come true, but then I didn't have any fun in the, you know, like, or like convincing yourself that they're like, you were having fun, even though you were disassociating. And now like getting to fill my life out with the other parts. And like, I even have this vision board behind me, and like a bunch of the things have already happened, but one of them I want to go camping, and I specifically want to go with Jed, and I want to go with you.
Yes.
And like, that's something that I think 2 years ago, I probably would have never even put up there because that felt selfish to me to want to go do something that.
Oh, we're going.
We're going.
We're going. Done. I'm literally going to get my calendar out when we're done with this interview, and we're going to make a plan.
We're going to go. I also think that the streamline of all of these things were the things that I can make happen for myself versus waiting for other people to make them happen for me. And I think I'm really letting go of expectations of others. Funny enough, like Lady Gaga is on the board, and I got to meet her about 2 weeks ago at her house for dinner. And she released sort of like a statement in to support me. And that was one of those moments where I've never put an expectation on anyone in my life to like show up in that capacity for me. And yet she did. And that's when, like, because there were no expectations there, like I was just blown out of the water in disbelief because I was like, wow. And I think that just goes to show like the manifestation is real. Yeah. And also that like letting people support you in the ways that they can best and to not by your standards, but to theirs is epic. And I think, I just feel so lucky right now. I feel so wildly grateful to like have made it through some of these really dark moments and been stronger because of it.
Yeah. And now for our sponsors.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have like one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app, Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor,
as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner.
Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what? I think some of those really big moments, like a manifestation of meeting one of your heroes, I think sometimes that's also a little bit of the magic of the universe. Because when you're on the receiving end of, you know, an audience of 10 million on TikTok, that means you're on the receiving end of a bigger audience of haters too. And so I think sometimes the universe will say to you, like, you're going to have this outsized moment to remind you that you're on the right path, whether it's with her or like your sit down with the president in 2022. Like for me, I think we've been through these generations of such enormous social change and evolution. There's no way that, especially with some of our older politicians, they weren't on like the wrong side of history back in the day, that they're on the better side now. And like for me to see you sit down with the president and have him just 100% behind you and advocating for trans kids, I'm just like, this is what we want. Like, we want the people that are our parents' age to get more progressive with age, yeah, not more closed off. And like, I don't know, it just, it made my heart so happy. And maybe because I've seen that in my own parents, like my parents are just like ride or die on the train of social progress in ways that like they weren't even when I was in high school. And it's so cool to see, like, not to say that Joe Biden is my dad or yours, but he does give off like great dad energy. What was that like to sit down with him? Was it like, was it easy because he felt familial, or was it insane because he's the president, or was it both?
I still was like, what the hell am I doing here? Because that was, again, very early in my journey.
Early.
I did not consider myself a political person or an activist. You know, I still don't call myself an activist because I think that's something to really be earned. And also there are specific facets of transness that I feel comfortable speaking on, and then others that I know now that I'm not well-versed enough in.
Sure.
In that conversation too, I think as much as I'm so grateful for getting to do it, I do think there was about 100,000 trans people that probably were more equipped than I was for that. But I'm so grateful, because what that did was, that was kind of the beginning of when I saw an influx of hate and transphobia, and going to sit down, whether, you know, you're for Biden or not, to get that confirmation that like the most powerful person in the world says that they support you. I think that was like enough for me to be like, okay, I'm doing this. Like, this is still who I am. I have less shame about it now because of this situation. And like, it was disassociative in a different kind, like in a good way, because I was like, basically like playing with the dog in the Oval Office. And then like Joe Biden gives me a cookie, and, you know, wrapped with like a gold seal on it. I was just like, what is going on right now? But I do think that like, it's so, my favorite thing is like sort of like intergenerational conversations, specifically usually with like older women, because there's so much that I can learn from them in their womanhood. And mm-hmm. and when we have those moments, I'm like, oh, hell yeah. Like it's I always was the kid at the pool party that like was like with the mom in the kitchen while all the other kids were like playing by the pool. And getting to like watch or the women, you know, in my life that I meet get to ask me questions. Like even, you know, I was at a dinner last week for a very small like screening of a film. And there was a much older actress there who, an icon. And she sat next to me and started asking some questions about my transition. And some of them were not the most like appropriate dinner conversations to be having, especially with someone new to my life or, you know, just to us meeting. But I could tell that like the fascination that she had was so pure hearted. And also like I felt safe enough to like go there with her. So I did. And I know that we both left feeling really like connected and inspired and knowing that I had her support. And so I think that like there's so much beauty that can come from not shying away from getting connected like that.
Yeah. And again, that you felt comfortable. You were able to take a moment with someone that, you know, if she'd asked those questions of someone else in your position, they might have been uncomfortable. And sometimes I think to meet people's curiosity, giving them the benefit of the doubt, and helping them know better so that they do better, like, that's also so important. And that's something I worry that the internet is kind of canceling out of us. And I hope that we can begin, as you said, to really practice nuance so that we can create more nuance in our world. You know, that feels like a big deal.
I have one question for you. Do you have any advice for me to like setting boundaries? And now that you've like navigated this for so long, like specific to like what you think would be healthy for me to do?
I mean, yes, I feel like we could do a whole nother podcast about this and I want to really deep dive on it with you. But I will say, I think one of the most important things that I have learned that helps me to set a boundary is that our emotional reactions are quick and our emotional learning is long. And so if you are responding or doing out of a reactive place, it won't wind up being a good thing. Learning to practice patience and go slow and wait has been one of the greatest sort of exercises and also transformative, practices of my life. And so we will talk so much more about that at our next bonfire. But I'm excited for you. I mean, I think even asking the question is so great. I think boundaries are medicine. And yeah, we have plenty to dig into there.
Oh, I can't
believe we've been talking for an hour. I hate it. I want to ask you 700 more questions, but we'll do a part two at some point. But I need to know, well, two things, because I really want to come back around to music, since as you said, Days of Girlhood came out 2 weeks ago. You are having like pure unadulterated joy as a singer. You have the voice of an angel. Hello, it's why you come from Broadway, and I can't wait for you to get back there. Are you releasing more music? Where can people find it? And then I'll ask you my actual last question.
Okay. Days of Girlhood's streaming on like all the, you know, spots like Spotify and Apple Music. I don't actually know what the plan is for music right now, because it was a very bittersweet experience putting this out there. Yeah. And I think I really now want to focus on people hearing my voice and my actual singing voice and not just like the fun of it. But I want it to be, because I'm not trying to be like a musician by any means. I want it to always be something I come back to because I have to, and because it feels like the exact thing that I'm supposed to do. And I'm not having that moment right this second. So I just posted a singing with Chris Colfer, like an old Broadway standard duet, and that felt really yummy. And so I think it's finding the different versions of music for me.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And that too, don't forget, it takes courage to say, "Ooh, I tried this and I don't think I liked it," or maybe that's not for me right now. I'm going to go this way.
Yeah.
That too is brave. So don't you forget it. It kind of feels like in that spirit, you know, being willing to show up and experiment and keep trying, keep learning all of this period, not only of your life in music, but of the last couple of years and your transition and your pursuit of your most authentic identity all feels like a work in progress.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think about from today looking forward, like into the spring and summer, into where you want to go, what you next want off that vision board, what feels like your work in progress as you look out at the future?
Ooh, I think I need to fall back in love with being me. And when I came out as a woman, I fell in love with my identity and with who I was and the confidence that I was feeling and the new joys. And then I had that kind of tarnished for a second. And now I'm like refining that again. And I think as helpful as the support is from followers or strangers that I meet in the street or my family, like it has to come within myself. So I also think like, it's funny because I'm starting to date and what I've gathered is like, I have to, like, I'm the hottest when I think that I'm hot or that like, I think that I'm worthy and that it can't come from an external source or like validation. So it's all encompassing of like loving the art that I'm putting out, even that song, the way that I just apologized basically for like, oh, I don't like music. I don't, you know, like, why am I doing this? I need to like love the fact that I did that for myself and claim it. And I think that's also is like standing by my decisions and my content and my my opinions and my identity and not being apologetic for it. So I think that's where I am working. I'm a work in progress. And I think for anyone listening, I just hope that they can see that the transition that I'm going through is just a different version of the transition that they're going through. Mm-hmm. And it might not have anything to do with gender, but how beautiful it would be if we were all just fascinated instead of hateful or darkly and deeply confused by people and just found a little bit of wonder.
I love that. I love that. Because you know what I really think it is? I think generationally, it's been so dangerous to be a human in the world that we have been cultured to not want the spotlight on us. So it's like, oh, well, if you're mad at all those people over there, you won't be mad at me. If, you know, in like evolutionary times, it's like, well, if that village on that side of the mountain's getting attacked, we'll be safe over here. We just shouldn't be attacking anyone.
No.
We have generations of economic understanding. We have generations of mental health understanding. We know better. We can actually create systems that work for everyone and don't make anyone feel like they're threatened. And if we actually keep everybody safe, we can just all be safe and we don't need to judge each other. So
I can't wait.
That, you know, that I think is like the planet's work in progress, but don't, but please know that you being courageous enough to be yourself reminds other people they can too. And to your point, we're all in transition all the time. Whatever
that means.
Manifestation that takes on, we really are.
Yeah.
And so let's do it together.
What's your work in progress right now?
Oh my goodness. I mean, really patience. I've had to exercise a lot of it over the last year. It's funny. I was the most celebrated in 2022 when I painted a really good picture for everyone. But internally, I was the most depressed I'd ever been. I felt so sad.
Jeez.
And people loved me. And then I got free and I chose my joy. And I've never been more brutalized or lied about. And yet I would do it all over again to feel as free and in my own body as I feel now. And that's a big deal because I don't think I could have done it 10 years ago.
And the people that celebrate that joy that are here and they're, you know,
you're my people.
However many of us there are, that we're here and we're here for it. And we see that within you. And in a way, like I didn't get to know you during that time. And I only now get to see how cool that we are meeting when we're both like figuring that out about ourselves, but also when we are like accepting those parts of ourselves, which I think is really, really beautiful.
Yeah. It's like early in your transition and when I was like, I'm doing so much work to be happy. I'm going to get there someday. You know, we met and instantly liked each other, but isn't it cool that our like deep friendship was launched and is evolving out of like this most honest place where we're holding all the good, all the bad, all the hard, all the exciting. Like, I don't think that's an accident.
No, I love you.
I love you. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. It makes like, I don't know why, but people like you, or sometimes I'll call Jules and like, I want to start crying, and not because I'm sad, but I'm just like, I feel like, I don't know. I love you. And I want to thank you for having me on today. And
I love you.
People, you know, enjoyed this and I did. So there's something.
And I get excited too. I'm like, oh my God, imagine what version of this interview we'll do a year from now. Oh, it's going to be great.
I can't wait.
The new Starz series, Marian George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but it shockingly is. With nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villers sets her handsome and charming son, George, on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. This show is full of wit, scandal, action. You will not be able to look away. I know, because I couldn't. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.